Good morning, everyone. I feel really blessed to be able to read the scripture today. And the scripture is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Stanza with me. I'm hoping I'll put it up here on the board. We have it. Could we with sing the ocean fears and were the skies
a parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could that scroll contain from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall
morning, church. How great is the love of God, isn't it? Is that my breathing I'm hearing on there? Must be nervous or something. All right, this morning we want to look at John 3:16. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for this opportunity you give us to praise you and to worship you. As we come again, Lord, we pray that Jesus Christ will be lifted up, that we will see his character, that we will see him today. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, and take everything that is mine and give nothing but the words that you would have your people hear today. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John 3:16, it's probably the most well-known scripture verse in the entire world. Most people learned it when they were little kids and have relearned it as adults. Many people can say it even in their sleep. It is so popular that even in different languages, people know it. But sometimes, because we know something and we know it by heart, and because we hear it so much, it can lose the importance of how deep it is. And I don't know if this has happened with this verse, but for many people, I know that they can rattle it off in their head and sometimes forget what it means. So today I want to take some time and look at what exactly this text means. Because I think that there is a strong, strong significance. There is a strong connection to salvation in this text that we need to understand. So if you have your Bibles, John 3:16, you have it here on the screen. And we'll continue through verse 21. So John 3:16-21. I'll be reading from the NIV, so you can follow me with your eyes on your Bible or on the screen. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. So this is the important thing. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done done through who? Through God. So John 3:16 and the immediate verses remind us of the fact that God has done something for us. The fact that God's love through Jesus Christ, and let me give them to you right now so you can write them down and then we'll discuss them. Number one, God's love as demonstrated in Jesus Christ gives the creation of this world another chance. Number two, it gives, this is God's love demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives compassion to all the world. Number three, God's love as demonstrated in Jesus Christ gives attention to our response to his love. And number four, God's love as demonstrated in Jesus Christ gives us a reason to celebrate. Gives us a reason to be happy. So those are the things that we want to look at through here in John 3:16 and afterwards. Again, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In that text, there is a multitude of sermons we could preach. There is a multitude of time we can spend this morning on it. As a matter of fact, if we had eternity, if every man was a writer, we can all write something on it. In that text, we find that fact that God gave. He chose to give. He did not hold back, but he gave. And you know, the act of giving takes on something that it's very important, because if you have something that is worth giving, then it's a little bit more difficult to give it. Oh, I know that many of us would likely, you know, like if you think like me, many of us would be more than happy to part ways with something we didn't want. Just go to a yard sale, for example. Other people's garbage can turn out to be other people's treasures. But for most of us, in the human perspective, when we want to give something away, it's because maybe we don't find use for it anymore. Or maybe it's something that we no longer have, you know, that attraction to, or that need or want to. But God gave. The Bible says that he gave not of what was left over, not of what was the last thing, not of something that he didn't want anymore, but he gave his only begotten. He gave the best that he had. He gave us his Son. And then it says that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, we can spend all morning, we can spend all afternoon just looking at that. But I want to focus this morning on the fact that God giving his Son gives this world another chance. If you remember with me, in the very beginning, God had created the man and all the animals, and God realized that it wasn't good for the man to be alone, so he created a helpmeet for him. So Eve comes along, and they're there. They see all the animals. They see all the beautiful garden that God has surrounded them with. They are just enthralled in the beauty of what they have. Then, of course, you remember that tree that was set in the middle of the garden. They were not supposed to touch it, but they ended up touching it. They ended up eating from it. And at that moment, their eyes were open and they knew not only good, but also evil. They realized at that moment that everything was not as it had been before. They realized at that moment that they started feeling something different in themselves. All of a sudden, they felt fear. All of a sudden, they were afraid. And all of a sudden, they started running as if not knowing where they were going, but they were running because they needed to hide. And they hid. And oh, what it must have been like when the voice of God said, "Where are you?" Calling for them. All of a sudden, they hear the voice of God. You see, God gave. God was the one that came looking for them in the garden. Of course, they responded, and as you know, they started blaming each other, and then they blame the serpent. But you see, sin not only affected Adam and Eve, but it also affected the whole of creation, the whole of this planet. You see, this planet is not what God intended it to be. This planet, in the way it is right now, is not what God intended it to be. Our relationship with each other is not what God intended it to be. Our relationship with nature, with the animals, with the rivers, is not what God intended it to be. I think I told you last week, you know, when we were up in Alaska, we were out in a boat and we were fishing, and all of a sudden this big old whale burst out. Oh, I wish I could have told you, oh man, I wanted to swim in and get a closer look at that whale. But something inside of me told me, you're a little guy, that's a big guy. He can open his mouth and he can swallow you, or he can take his tail and throw the boat way out there. Fear. You see, the nature is not what it's supposed to be. It. I can remember, you know, just reading the stories of Adam and Eve and perhaps touching the animals. You see, nature itself has suffered because of the mistrust and disobedience that enter the human family when men fell to sin. But God has promised that he would not give up on his creation. He came searching for the man and the woman. He went out searching and he gave. Remember what he gave to begin with? He gave them clothing. You see, God gives. He has given us his son. And in the fact that that clothing represented his son, now his son has come into the world. He has given himself for us so that we may have eternal life. You see, and God promises that he's going to recreate the creation. He's going to recreate this world to the way it's supposed to be. So God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives the creation another chance. Oh, and I want to be there, because I do want to pet that big whale. I would like to go swim with that whale. Number two, God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives compassion to all the world. The Bible says right here that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God poured all of his love out upon us. The warmth of his devotion came down to us in Jesus Christ the Son. Every religion talks about sacrifice, speaks of sacrifice, which people bring to their God, seeking to appease him and to justify themselves, but not the Christian faith. The Christian gospel states that there is nothing people can offer to God in exchange for their souls. The Christian religion, in its essence, teaches that we cannot appease an angry God. When I was a little boy growing up, and I won't expect you to remember this name or to be able to pronounce it, but when I was a little boy growing up in the town of Ilovasco, that's in one of the departments in El Salvador, it's one of the most beautiful states, by the way. When it comes to Christmas time and Easter time, the whole town collects sawdust. And what they do is they take sawdust and they basically pave the city streets in sawdust. Then they start getting paint. And then on top of the sawdust, they start painting this religious pictures. You may have seen it in other countries, the Philippines, other European countries. You can see this during the Eastern time, big Catholic tradition. They'll paint Jesus Christ. They'll paint the Calvary. They'll paint the Mary and the baby. They'll paint you know, the heaven. They'll paint all kinds of religious sceneries. Italy, you see it. So you have this whole street lined out. And then, of course, the biggest, the central presentation of that whole painted street is the processional of a person that is carrying a cross. They walk through the city, make all their way down to the center of town where the church is. But then after that, you have people on their knees walking the streets, pilgriming, if you will, down the street on their knees. They're hitting their chest. They're asking God to forgive them. They're pleading with God to appease him. If you remember the story of Martin Luther used to beat himself over the back trying to please an angry God. Then finally it came to him that there was nothing that he could do because, you see, God had shown compassion for him. God had shown love for him. You see, God himself has provided the sacrifice. You don't have to sacrifice your life. You don't have to walk on your knees. You don't have to beat yourself. You don't have to sacrifice your children to try to appease a God. You don't have to do that for our God, the living God, because the living God himself provided his own son who became the sacrifice. You see, God in Jesus is the best gift he can offer to man. God himself has become the sacrifice of atonement. He died in our place, holding nothing back. You see, this is a world that he loves. This is a world that he came to give his all. You see, God's love reaches beyond the outer limits of our telescope. He wants every person to be saved. And in our hands, which has been richly blessed, he has placed the responsibility to go to all the people everywhere, to go to all the world and let them know what the love of God does. Now, I don't know about you, but if we look in our world today, I think that we would be fair to ourselves in saying that we still have a lot of problems with discrimination. If we looked at the world today, we would still see that there's still issues with people holding themselves up higher than others. Not only in our country, but folks, look around the world. Look around the world. You see it on the news. You see it on the newspapers. You see it on the internet. You see it everywhere. You see, God has called us to have compassion for the entire world. Not just for one little piece of land. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the news and I see some of these preachers and some of these politicians talking about Israel and just looking at the little piece of land in the Middle East and basically saying nothing else matters but that. That can really affect the way we think. You know, we start thinking that nothing else matters but a few people. When God has called us to look at the entire world, God has called us to take the message to the entire world. God has shown us in the person of Jesus Christ that he himself has compassion for the whole world. So it doesn't matter where you come from. It does not matter what color your skin is. Does not matter what your social status is. Does not matter what you drive. Does not matter where you live. Does not matter how tall or short or how much you weigh. God has compassion for you regardless of who you are. Because you see, compassion flows out of Him. Not because of who you are, but because of who He is. Compassion to the whole world. Our love will cause us to give our lives for anybody, just like He gave His life for everybody. So God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives our creation a new chance. God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives compassion to the whole world. And God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives attention to our response. Let me read a few more verses here from John 3:18. It says, whoever believes in Him, John 3:18, whoever believes in Him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And then it says, this is the verdict. Now, if you know anything about verdicts, you know that this is court language that we're talking about here. By the way, I just got a little note in the mail. It's calling me to go to a jury duty. So I'll get to experience some of this, possibly. We'll see. But here we have the verdict. In other words, people have seen the evidence. People have heard the testimony. This is the verdict. And the verdict says, light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. It continues to say, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. So here we have something that perhaps is very telling. The Bible is saying that whoever hates light is an evil person. And of course, an evil person does not want to come out into the light, because if you come out into the light, then you can see the evil deeds. And you know, and it's funny, because we as humans, we try to play games when we're doing something wrong. We try to hide what we're doing wrong. You know how we do that? A lot of times, if we're doing something wrong and we know that we have done something wrong, to get attention away from us, what do? We point at somebody else. Well, look at them, what they're doing. Well, surely if you put the attention on somebody else, that takes the attention away from you. And so you have put it on someone else. So people look at somebody else. But the problem with that is, just as easy as you pointed the finger, somebody else can point the finger back. And I don't know if you've ever seen a person pointing. One finger goes, but three are coming back. And if you do like I do, you have the thumb pointing up and it shoots up and then it hits the roof and comes down, hits you. So you have four against one. So we play games trying to hide. And the Bible says, now listen to this, everyone who does evil hates the light. And so the question that we have here is, who does not do evil? Oh, it's very easy to say, maybe I'm better than others because of my background, because of my education, because of where I come from, because of who I am. But when you really look at it, the Bible says, everyone who does evil. So the question is, who is not evil? Who? And of course, we can look at it and say, well, you know, there's levels of evil. There's little evil, there's medium evil, and there's really evil. And on top of that, there's really just enormous evil. But the reality is, in the eyes of God, evil is evil. So the question is, who is not evil? The verse says, verse 20, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come out into the light for fear that his deeds may be exposed. So darkness, I don't know if you've ever been sleeping at night, perhaps in the middle of the night where it's dark, perhaps it's, you know, like it is here in Brookings, perhaps the fog has come in and there's low clouds and your room is just really dark and you know, kind of a little cold, which is very nice to sleep in, by the way. Then all of a sudden somebody plays a prank on you and turns on the light. You've been accustomed to the dark and all of a sudden you have the light. What do you automatically do? You grab a pillow, you grab something, you roll over, you close your eyes, you try to go underneath the bed if you could to find darkness. Naturally. So you see, we try to avoid coming out into the light because we don't want our deeds to be shown. But listen to the next text, because in the next text, we find hope. Whoever, verse 21, lives by the truth comes into the light. Did you catch the fact that they have come out of the darkness into the light? Did you catch the fact that it does not say here they did not do any evil? Did you catch the fact that it does not say here they didn't do anything wrong? Did you catch the fact that it does not say here they did everything the right way? It does not say that. It simply says, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light. You make a choice to come into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. You see, what person that realizes the response that God is calling for us to do, realizes that he or she cannot do a thing without God. Realizes that you cannot breathe, you cannot walk, you cannot make a right decision, you cannot make a right choice, you cannot do a thing, you cannot even have a positive thought without Christ. So it's not the fact that you perhaps walked the streets on your knees or you looked at person or you did something, is the fact that God did something for you. And that, you see, is the biggest place where we can believe. Believing is our greatest act of response to God's love. Love for others and ministry to the world is a healthy and necessary response which the believer makes to the needs around him. But nothing substitutes the belief that you have in God. Because belief means that you throw yourself on God. You realize that there's not a thing that you can do without him. So you depend on him. So God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives the attention to the fact that we have a God that wants us to believe. God's love, demonstrated in the love of Jesus Christ, shows that he has compassion to the entire world. God's love, demonstrated in Jesus Christ, shows and gives our creation a whole new chance. And the last point, God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives us a cause for celebration. Now, most of you may not know, but September is the month where most of your Spanish countries, from Mexico all the way down to Chile, in September, most of the Spanish countries have their Independence Day. So most of them celebrated either from the 15th through the 21st or 22nd of September, all through the basically Western Hemisphere. And if you've ever been to a celebration of independence. You know, we have the 4th of July here, so multiply that by a few things. You have millions of people coming out and celebrating the fact that they're free. As a matter of fact, we had a friend that had two girls. One was 16 and the other one was about 8 or 9. And we just happened to be watching, you know, live television in Mexico celebrating their independence. And so it was a big deal, so important that the president himself came out, you know, in front of the plaza, and there's hundreds of thousands of people in the plaza. And so he would get out there and he would say, and I'll say it in Spanish and then I'll translate it into English. He would come out and he would say, "Viva la patria," or "Long live our country." So he would say, "Viva la patria," and then the hundreds of thousands would repeat, "Viva la patria," you know. So here's this little girl. She was born in Mexico, even though she was American. So she spoke Spanish, you know, and her mother was American, but she considered herself to be Mexican in all sense of the word. So here we are watching the TV. We're watching the president say, "Viva la patria," and then the people would respond, "Viva la patria," and here's this little girl at the top of her lungs just screaming, "Viva la patria," you know, and just happy, and the smile, and she would jump and throw stuff and just happy. Have you thought about that we have a reason to be happy, because our independence has been declared at the cross? We have no one over us anymore. We don't have the penalty of sin, which is death in the eternal form, not the sleep form. We don't have that hanging over us because Christ has paid the price. May I suggest to you that as human beings, as Christians, we have a reason to be happy. We ought to be raising our hand and saying, "Praise be to God." And if you would say it in Spanish, you would say, "Viva Jesus." Long live Christ, because of what he has done for us. You see, we have a reason to be happy. When I was a little kid, I used to go to church. And keep in mind that the church that we went to was a very interesting church in the sense that no one said a word. I mean, people would talk afterwards, but no one would say a word. And so you would walk into church. And again, keep in mind that I'm telling you through the eyes of a 10-year-old, 11-year-old. We would go to church and no one would say a word. Everyone's face looked long. Everyone's lips, instead of going up, they looked like they were coming down. Perhaps because they were older in age and gravity was doing whatever gravity does to you, you know, pulling things down. But everyone looked like they had long face and mouth going down. No one would say a thing. No one would smile. No one would show their teeth. And man, I would look at those people and say, "Whoa. Got to be something wrong here. For here to praise God, we had to have joy. We had to have that fire in our hearts that says we have been free. We have Christ." You see, to live joyfully for Christ needs to show joy and life in the Christian believer, because he has eternal life. God has given us that eternal life. Eternal life is not just living forever with God. It is living God's kind of life forever, beginning now. So you show that you're happy. One lovely Christian said it this way: all the way to heaven is heaven because Jesus said, "I am the way." So show your happiness. Show your joy. So God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives us a reason for celebration, because we have been free. We are no longer a slave to sin. God's love, as shown in Jesus Christ, gives our attention the response that we ought to believe in Christ because of what he has done. God's love, as demonstrated in Jesus Christ, gives us compassion to the whole world. We realize that God wants everybody saved. And God's love gives us another chance at our creation. We can live that life that God had planned for us at the garden. We can live it, and we can live it through Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has removed our fear and given us life with him now and forever, so we can have that life with Christ. John 3:16 again. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God, verse 17, did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I hope that you have been saved through the Son. May God bless you.
Our closing song is The Wonder of It All, number 75, and I invite you to stand with me.
Loves me. Oh.
Father in heaven, what a wonder to know that you love us. Lord, we pray that your love will accompany us as we leave this place. We pray, Lord, that your love will shine through our life so that others may see your love in us and fall in love with you. I pray, Lord, a special blessing on everyone here today, that your love will cover our lives. For we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. May God bless you.